A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, saw in heaven another sign, great and awe-inspiring. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, for through them God's fury is accomplished. Then I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. On the sea of glass were standing those who had won the victory over the beast, and its image and the number that signified its name. They were holding God's harps, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, or glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Verbum Domini. Great and wonderful are all your works, Lord mighty God. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord mighty God. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord mighty God. Let the sea and what fills it resound, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, the mountains shout with them for joy. Before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the world with justice and the peoples with equity.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. And they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." Verbum Domini.
Laus.
get another glimpse of St. John's vision in the book of Revelation. Today, our first reading, John sees another vision of angels coming with the seven last plagues. And there have already been three plagues earlier in the book of Revelation, so this brings us to 10, which should remind us of the plagues in the book of Exodus. Again, we're reminded that we should be having that in mind as we're reading the book of Revelation here. And St. John saw a sea of glass mingled with fire. Again, with this, the sea, again, we get that image of Moses coming through, leading the Israelites through the Red Sea. But also before I get to that, with regard to the plagues, this is seen, as St. John says, for through them God's fury is accomplished. It's God's judgment on evil. God doesn't desire evil, but he desires our conversion. But if we obstinately refuse repentance, it's part of God's justice, right? And even the suffering that we endure that can be this punishment is to draw us to repent, to turn back to him. So he is always desiring our repentance, always desiring our conversion. And yet also, because he is perfectly just, there is suffering, there is punishment. And so we see this, and the number seven, again, is a number of perfection. It's seven angels with the seven last plagues, right? This is the fulfillment of God's justice before eternal life in heaven at his second coming. So again, we get this image, but it doesn't end on a note of severity. There's always hope, and that's why we get this image, the second image that he sees of the sea of glass and the victor standing beside the shore. But the sea of glass, he said, is mingled with fire, and that's an image of suffering and persecution, right? That we know that the followers of Christ are going to suffer. That's part of the package of being faithful to Christ. The Lord said, if they hated me, they will hate you. Right? If we're faithful to the Lord, we can expect persecution. We can expect resistance. And yet again, on the sea were standing those who had won the victory over the beast, over the enemy of their souls, by being faithful through the persecutions, by being faithful to Christ. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this homily, we see the connection with Moses. And St. John says, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. And we know that Moses was a figure of Christ. And just as the Israelites followed him through the Red Sea to their deliverance, we follow Christ faithfully through persecutions, through suffering, to the shore of heaven. That's where the Lord is calling us to. And they sing this song of praise that we hear at the end of today's reading. And reminding that praise, that we praise and we thank God because of who he is. Right, that because God is God, he's perfectly just, and we're called to praise him always for his goodness. He is always looking out for our good. Now, in our gospel today from St. Luke, the Lord reminds us, and this fits very perfectly, very well with our first reading today, that the Lord is telling his followers, you will be persecuted for following me. They will hand you over to synagogues. And we know that the fact that we are persecuted or that we suffer in the first place is only because God permits it. And he only permits it because he can bring a greater good out of it. And part of God's providence that we see in the gospel today, the Lord says, part of the providence of being permitted to be persecuted and to suffer is that it will lead, as he says, to your giving testimony. Right? How many conversions have taken place throughout the church's history because of faithful Christians in the midst of persecution and suffering? We can think of our lives of witnessing another who is suffering, not just perhaps it's being persecuted, they're being persecuted, or maybe they're just the way that they lovingly embrace the cross or some suffering or illness that they're undergoing. And it can lead us to a deeper faith, a deeper knowledge, a deeper love for Christ. The Lord reminds us that he will give us as well the wisdom that we need in the time of need. It says not to worry. He will give us the graces that we need. And he says at the very end, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. By being patient in the midst of suffering, by being patient in the midst of the cross, and praying for that grace of final perseverance to the end. And we know we have so many opportunities to grow in patience every day, right? By the things that don't go according to our plans, the things that we want something, and again, we don't get what we want, things that are beyond our control, or we're struggling with a family member or a relative who we're having a really difficult time with. These are many opportunities to grow in the virtue of patience. There's our saint today in the Franciscan calendar, Saint Francis Anthony Fasani. He had many opportunities to grow in the virtue of patience, because out of the many roles that he was elected to was the provincial minister of his community. And so he dealt with a lot of difficult personalities, as many friars were under his command, under his, they were bound to him by obedience. He was charged with helping to lead them to heaven. And St. Francis Anthony was born in the 18th century, and he was educated by the conventual friars in southeastern Italy, where he is from. He was ordained a priest at the age of 24, was very bright. We went on to get a doctorate in theology, and he taught the friars as well. But as superior, again, he was there to encourage the friars, but also to call them to vigilance. And one of the things he told the friars was, he said, we study God, we preach God, but there's no prayer, there's no devotion, right? So we have to unite. That study of the faith is very important. Knowledge of the faith is very important, but we can't divorce it from prayer. I'm reminded of what our founder, St. Francis, told St. Anthony of Padua when he said, it pleases me that you teach sacred theology to the friars, insofar as you do not extinguish the prayer, the spirit of prayer and devotion, right? That our study of the faith should lead us to a deeper desire for communion with God, a deeper desire for prayer, that we don't study simply in order to have more knowledge, but it should lead to our deepening communion with God, our love for him. It was Pope John Paul II who canonized our saint today, St. Francis Anthony, in 1986. And during his canonization homily, he said that St. Francis Anthony was a tireless preacher, but also he never reduced the gospel to simply trying to please men, right? That's a temptation that all of us can have. We want to be liked, so we want to say things that are pleasing to others. But St. Francis Anthony always gave the gospel straight to the people, right? Because the gospel elevates us, it lifts us, it challenges us to conform our lives to Christ. We want to always seek his holy will. The last thing I'll say about today's saint is when he was on his deathbed in his last illness, he offered everything, as the saints do, offered his whole life, his sickness to God, wanted to conform his will to God's will. And he said, the will of God, that's my paradise, right? Seeking God's will in all things. He learned that secret that St. Paul learned, right? To be content in all things. He saw the will of God in everything, even the crosses, the things that are unexpected, the sufferings. So we ask his prayers for us today, St. Francis Anthony Fasani, that we may continue to seek to conform our will to God's will, and that we can say with him as well, the will of God, that's my paradise.